19th, not only is a Mission Sunday, more important is Father's Day. So can I ask those fathers to stand up so we can give them applause? Okay. I also stand up because I'm a father. We know that family is the basic building unit of whole society. God created family first, and with that, it built out the whole society and also the country, the nation. But nowadays, family is under severe attack from all fronts. For example, people talk about you don't need to get married, cohabitation. We talk about gay marriage. We also talk about, for example, divorce, broken families. So nowadays, the family is under severe attack at all fronts. And that's Satan's plan to destruct human society, bring a lot of sufferings and also a lot of evil to this world. Today I would like to share with the Father Days as one theme. As Father, what should we do? So I suggest fathers here or father-to-be in the future, maybe think about this. Using my own experience, there are three very important things. Building three types of altar, family altar for the Lord. And this is Ethan. I'm very glad that Nathan is here. He's now in Hong Kong. And that is Duke. He's studying there. So one time, she and I went to visit him and have lunch with him. So we fathers, we need to be a responsible father, especially in nowadays society. This is especially critical. To raise a good family, to stand firm in our faith, not just stand firm, but also really witness for the Lord in our position. I suggest that we can think about three different types of family altar. As father, we're supposed to be the leader of the household, especially the spiritual household, so spiritual leader. So as a father, as the leading figure, we take the initiative to build altars for the Lord in our family. I mentioned about three types of altar. The first one is your own life example and your own priority. That's one altar. The other one is family worship. You have weekly worship together as a family. The third one is that prayer altar. You keep praying for your children, your family. The first example is very well illustrated by Abraham, Father Abraham, when he was called by the Lord. He traveled in different paths in the area. And you can see that's very interesting that he set a very good life example. Could I ask brother and sister to read together? Let's go. The Lord has said to Abraham, I think we are all very familiar with this passage. Abraham was called by God, leaving his home country and moved to the Palestine, the new area. And Abraham followed the order. And he was at that time 75 years old, and took his wife Sarai and his also nephew. Can I ask brothers and sisters to read also? Let's go. He took his wife. So when he moved to this land, he saw, he get a great tree and God appeared to him. And he said, to the offspring, I'll give this land. So right away, he built an altar there to the Lord and who appeared to him. So here, when he moved to this land, the first thing he did was to build an altar for the Lord. And then he moved around because they have sheep, they have livestock, so move around in this country. And whenever he went, it's a very interesting gesture Abraham did. Could I ask Francis to read again, please? From there, he went on. So I can see that and observe that whenever he go to a new piece of land, new territory, the very first thing he did, what did he do? He built an altar to the Lord. Now he moved on to another place, Genesis 13:18. Let's read that again. So Abraham... As soon as he pitched his tents in the new land, again, Abraham built an altar to the Lord. I think Abraham set a very good life example, not just to himself, but also to the followers, especially to his household. That is, the first thing, whenever they relocate, to the first thing they did is to build an altar to the Lord. First priority of life. As a father, I think we need to set a life example. That the number one goal, wherever we go, wherever we work, the first priority is to build an altar to the Lord. Why did Abraham do that? Because this is the most important part of their life. It comes out very natural from him. Whenever he goes, the first thing, besides worry about how to eat, how to drink, how to build a wall, the first very things he did is to build altar. So it shows that to him, that's the most important part of his life. Location, occupations, even where to live. The first thing is to build altar to the Lord. So my appeal to the fathers and also fathers-to-be, I will challenge you, no matter what you do, wherever you live, the first thing you do is to build the altar to the Lord. On one hand, they're living in the land of Canaan. There are a lot of pagans, there are a lot of false religions. They have to strengthen the faith of his children, his household. That's why he built an altar as a sign that there's one Jehovah God, the real God. We should not follow the practice of those pagans nearby. We really should worship the one Lord, the creator of this universe. Not just being a passive way, but he also did actively. I think the best defense is offense. The best defense is offense. Not just say passively to protect yourself, but go out and claim this territory for the Lord. Because God said, you will be, your offspring will rule this land. So, in the name of the Lord, they build the altar and claim the territory. So, no matter you will go, build the altar. Not just to protect your families, but at the same time, be aggressive. Claim this territory around you and bring your neighbor, your friends toward the Lord. When I came to Colombia, in the first few years, we have to rent a house because my salary is not high. It's not high. I'm making a lot of money. After several years, we are very, very active in student ministry. So after several years, we save some money, so we're ready to buy a house. Then we'll think about where to buy a house. Because Shady and I share this vision of helping the student fellowship. So when we buy a house, we have this ministry have in our mind. So when we pray, God, where should we buy our house? So we pray and then we list some conditions. When we pray, we try to visualize what kind of house that God will want us to have. So at start, we pray and let's start listing some conditions. Hopefully, God will help us. Because we have this first priority. Wherever we work as a professor, wherever we stay, it is for the convenience of students' ministry. Because this is how we worship our Lord with our position. So I say, God, I would like to buy a house near the university, the campus area. Because if it's too far away, even if you want to invite students, they'll come one or two times. To them, time is very precious. There's homework. If you travel a long distance, they may not have car. If they even have car, they have to drive for 15, 20 minutes. And round trip is 40 minutes already, so they may not come that often. But if you stay nearby them, they can just walk here. Or maybe just pick them and go home and have dinner. Or if there's some trouble, just give counseling, just come to our house. It's so natural. So the one thing is that we want to live nearby the campus. And also because I do not make a lot of money, so must be affordable. It's within a budget. But you know, around the campus area, the housing is very expensive in that area. So we want to find a house that's within our budget. And also, we said, God, we don't need to have a big house, but hopefully we have a place where we can meet, people can meet. So, you know, in America, a lot of houses are segmented in different compartments. For example, you have the dining place, you have the kitchen, you have the sitting room, but each in different rooms. I said, God, I want to have a house that with the sitting room and the kitchen and our sitting area is all together. So it's not separate. Why? Because we can have more people sit together and sit together. So it's another condition. I also list another condition. It's God, hopefully this house doesn't have a big lawn. Why? Because I don't have time. I don't have time to cut the grass. I am already teaching. I also did a message. Just a small lawn because I don't have time to get a lot of the grass. So we just pray and pray. And every now and then after school, Shirley and I just stroll around the campus area and scout around and see what kind of houses. We went to those houses and find that they are very expensive, beyond our budget. And also when I went to houses, big houses, but at the same time, the different rooms are cemented. It's very hard to have a big gathering place. So we searched for several reasons. And one day when we said, one afternoon when Shirley and I went there, and suddenly there's one house that was not on the market for a long time. But suddenly there's a sale sign there. So we quickly called the broker and said, we would like to see the house. And we're guided into the house. Surely, the rooms are, the dining room and also living room are integrated. And also, the lawn was not big. And also, it was within our budget. So very quickly, we make an offer. It's just about asking a little reduction, maybe $5,000. And then they accept the offer. And the sale was done. So when Shirley and I, when we moved to the house after several months, and we sat in the sitting room and pray and praise God for giving us this house. Because we want to have this house to glorify Him, to do His ministry, and He provided. Within our budget, He provided very location, not big house, a house with a small lawn, all these conditions fulfilled. And you know what? When we gave praise, and suddenly it dawned on us, across our house, there was a park. There's a park. It's called Hollywood Park. And said, God, how humorous you are. We want to have a small lawn, but you give a big garden. Free. No cutting of grass needed. So we can have barbecue with students over there. You set a life example. What's your first priority in your life? Building an altar to the Lord, wherever you do. That will be a very strong spiritual example to your children. More powerful than whatever words you say. Because you live out the example. We want to live near our house, live campus, and right across the street is the Hollywood Park. No cutting of lawn is needed, but it's free. Barbecue place. The second type of altar we need to build is the family worship altar. Nowadays, a lot of parents just give up their spiritual duty to schools or to the church. They say that let the Sunday school teacher take care of my children. Let the Sunday school teacher take care of my children. Let the church do that. I'll be busy with my work. But that's wrong because it's not the teaching of the law. We could not abdicate our own responsibility as a household leader, as a father. Let's read Deuteronomy 6:6-7. Let's go. These commandments. So always encourage brothers and sisters to have their own family order. It's very important to go to Bible study group. It's very important to go to worship service. But that will not substitute for your family worship order. So I urge, if your families have not got that yet, maybe you can try that. Maybe once a week. If you want to do more times, of course, it's better. This is what we do. Since Ethan was very young, when he was born, we already offered him to the Lord. We said, God, no matter how you use him, whether in terms of full-time ministry or maybe just like a tent maker, he's yours. Use him. We offer you to him. So when he was very young, we already sat around the room, and every week we tried to have a family worship altar. Sherry and I and Ethan, when he was young, because we want to establish this relationship. We want to establish this pattern that we as a family come together to worship to the Lord. Building your family worship altar inside your house. Because if you do that, actually you set up a very good habit already. Have a deep communication over spiritual communication with your children. Otherwise, when they go to high school and go to college, it's very hard to communicate anymore. Because you do not have this habit of communicate deeply and openly with them. And when they get their peer group, they say, you don't understand me. So the conversation will be very superficial. Although you care for them, but they do not want to open up themselves to you. That's why when Ethan was very young, we already set up this pattern. We have a day, weekly worship, family worship. Because it also, using this family influence, we want to have injections to take him to be a preventive shot. Just in case they go to the world, he is protected. He has something we ought to instill in him. And also show him that Jesus is the law of this family. But if you want to practice family worship, I would encourage you to think about a car, C-A-R. First, C is consistent. Don't do it once a week, and then next week you do not do it. Try to be consistent. So let your children know that this is very important. So schedule maybe one night, and try not to schedule things around the night, and try to keep constant. Do it every week. You don't have to know, but let it show the children that this is a very important event of your family. Consistent. Second one, make it interesting. Not that another Sunday school, another worship. No, make it fun. It doesn't have to be long. We can have claims. I heard that some of the missionaries, they try to use skit. For example, we talk about the prodigal son, and the father will say, I'll be the father, you'll be the prodigal son. We just act together. So make it fun. Just like a family gathering together. Have fun using the Bible story. So the children will be attracted to that. And also very important, relevance. Open yourself up. How this passage influence your life. Even when you say that you have a weakness of yourself, open it up so that your children will also be willing to open themselves up. So make it a short, weekly, attractive gathering every week. So the children will look forward to that. So praise the Lord. Even now, Ethan is quite willing to talk to us. He may not be listed out all the time, but he's still willing to share his deep inner thoughts with us, even at this age. Praise the Lord. The third important altar that I would like to urge fathers to think about is prayer. It's very important. As your children keep growing up, for example, we talk about you set a life example. You set a life example is the first priority. Build an altar every time you do. At the same time, you also maintain this message. You have weekly worship to maintain, to keep this message. This is very important for our family. Keep doing it every week. So it cultivates the habit. Not just your life example, you also speak it out. You express it so that your children also may talk about it. But as they grow up, they become more independent. That's how God created people, right? When they got more growing up, they will start to be separate from you. They will have their own ideas, especially when they go to college. It's very difficult to influence them anymore because they are being faced with so many different things going on around them. Let's read that together, this passage. In the land of And who is this man? Job. Of course, you are familiar with the book of Job. But in the early part, it's actually very interesting. You know that he's a very rich man. He was rich. He's a lot of descendants, children too. And you know that by this time, these descendants, the children actually grown up because they have their own homes. And they would like to hold their own parties too. So every time they drink and have parties together. So let's see how this father, what he do. Let's read that together. When a prayer fast and run his course. What was Job's regular custom? Whenever his children throw a party. So the next day he would say, he'll warn them, hey, you need to see whether you need to make arrangement for purification. And he himself go and make sacrifice, burn offering for each of them. As a father, they already got independent, but they still remember. He as a father, he still remember the spiritual purity of his children. So it's beyond his control because they live on their own. They throw their own parties. But the fathers care about the spiritual condition of his children. So whenever they throw a party, what did he do? The next morning, he make a burnt offering for each of them. Eden is now going to college. He's gone to college now, first year. And I know many of you know that he go to Duke. You know Duke is very good, but at the same time, very liberal. We chose Duke, on one hand, as a good school. On the other, it's nearby, so when he can visit him very easily. At the same time, we heard that Duke have good fellowships. But when you release a child, you know that actually it's very risky. Because you're sending your son, your daughter to this world. And this world is very hostile. It's just like sending a lamb amongst the wolves. I'm not kidding. Especially top schools. They're very, what you call, humanistic. They view society from a humanistic perspective. They're emphasizing social values, policy. But at the same time, they try to use reason. Everything they use reason, the reason out. And seem to get rid of God from this society. Especially go to good school. When you try to tell, for example, when we try to talk to Eden, we can no longer use the same way to teach him, but because he will not listen, because he is now bombarded by many peers, a lot of opinion from the professors. And this is the natural process of growing up. You have to start releasing. But you know that this lamb is facing a lot of wolves out there. So actually, the battle just started. Although he just got out of home. But actually, the battle just got started because he's going to attack from different ways. But you cannot control anymore. You can only influence him. Because we have good communication, we can still talk to him and share ideas with him. But it's only suggestions. He may not listen to me. He may not listen to Shirley. But what can we do? We got to pray. Fast and pray. And this has been our tradition. We like to fast and pray. It's not that I want to fast and pray to keep thin. But fast and pray is a very good spiritual weapon. We have been dieting a lot for our families. My parents, when they have not really come to Christ, we fast and pray every week for them. And praise the Lord, finally, before they die, they came to the Lord. My in-laws is the same. So we got this habit of fasting and praying for relatives, for those we love, for the church, for the fellowship. Because we think God can use us using our altar of prayer. It's a prayer of incense. It's a prayer God treasure our prayer. So we use this to worship Him. Especially when our sin is now beyond our area. He's facing the wolves all the time. So what can we do? We must leave it up to the Lord. So we fast and pray every week, which is one day a week. Fast and pray. Not just for Ethan, but also for the church, for the fellowship. Because we don't just
to defend. We want to be offensive. The best defense is to be offensive. We want to claim the territory for the Lord. On campus area, we want to, God use Ethan in this process of struggling, growing, and in future he'll be a bright young man with all this intellectual challenge. He'll be a mighty servant of the Lord. But it's very risky because he's facing wolves every day. There's not much we can do, but we can fast and pray and talk to him. Some parents say that it's maybe too late for me because I have not done that. Chuck, you mentioned about three altars. I've done none. So what can I do? It's not too late to start. So you have not done that as a father. Maybe you can repent. You say, God, I have abdicated my responsibility in the past, but I don't know. But now I know, so forgive me. Help me. So the immediate process, maybe you can start thinking about what's the number one priority in your life. Second one, maybe start praying about whether you want to lead a weekly family worship. Just have fun. Consistent, attractive, and relevant. All my kids already go to college. Then you can fast and pray if you want to. It's never too late. It's not much how much you do that help your children, but your ready act actually help yourselves. As you get, because of this concerns, God used this to draw himself, draw you to him. He wants to build you up. Especially to the mothers, I would like to say a last word of encouragement. St. Augustine, I think most people know about this person, right? There's a very important character, a person in Christian history, the church history. You know, St. Augustine turned out to be, before that, he was a bad boy. You heard that, huh? But he has a wonderful mother. This bad boy has been squandering, do a lot of bad things outside, and they did not listen to his mother. But the mother did not give up and keep praying for this boy because he doesn't want his boys to perish, to be just eaten by these wolves around him, by this intellectual challenge, know God, and have fun all the time, not really focusing to serve the Lord. So his mother prayed for him all the time and never give up, never giving up on his son. And this boy has already grown up. And one day, interestingly, St. Augustine was in Italy. He was passing through, going through a city called Milan, which is the northern part of Italy. And this is actually the church. And when he was passing through in front of church, suddenly there's something very interesting in him. He feels there's a big urge. The urge wanted to urge him to go into the church. But he's no believer. He would like to suppress the urge and kept going. But when he wanted to keep going, that urge becomes stronger and stronger. So finally, he yielded. He just went into the church and sat down. And interestingly, that day, the sermon was preached by the famous Bishop Ambrose. He's a very famous preacher. Preacher Ambrose. And he sat down and just kind of listened. And he find that this Bishop Ambrose actually has very good, very eloquence. He's very skillful in making speech. Now, he paid no attention to the contents because he's a non-Christian. But he was very amazed by how this speaker speak. So he wanted to learn how he speak. So he just sat down and learned about skills. And next week he came back. He wanted to keep learning how he delivered the speech so eloquently. But after several weeks, he find that keep listening to him. Not just he has skills in speaking, but even what he said has contents. He starts seeing the contents of a message. So he kept coming back. And after several, what happened? He find out not only he's good at speaking, not he has good contents of message. His message got spirit. Really touch his heart. So he bowed down one day and gave his life to the Lord. And he got baptized. and wrote this very famous book called Confessions. That's the classic of her church history. All because one faithful parent, his mother, never giving up. So fathers, may I urge you to think about these three altars. What's your own life example? What's your number one priority? Second one, maybe having a family worship altar. And then even if your children got independent, keep praying for him. Let's bow our heads and pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for having us worship you on the Father's Day. You are our ultimate Father. God the Father. We all look up to you. May we learn from the example to care for our children. So bring them to you, and you can in turn use them to help more people. Help our church. Help our church family. Help us to be godly servants to guide our children. We praise you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.